I guess I'm 6'6 and three quarters. Like, I'm just shy of 6'7. To anybody like in Europe or anywhere else besides America, yeah. I'm 2 meters tall. If I go in workout clothes or something like that anywhere, uh-huh. you know, do you yeah. play basketball? And that's fine. But then it's like, are you in the NBA? Like, what? I've signed autographs many times.
No, you haven't.
I had this one buddy that would say, yeah, he is. He's on the Bulls. And they would just like pull out like a napkin or something like that.
We bend your ear. Stories about us.
Stories about you.
Huck Finn, Peter Rabbit. This is Earbender.
Oh, yeah. Earbender.
I'm your host, Alexi. Welcome to Earbender. Hey!
Woo!
This episode has everything, as long as everything is finances and flatulence.
That's a lot.
I think Pinch Penny Bob is going to have trouble with the story about money at the top of the show, but I'm willing to deal with her wrath because she just got back from Austin, Texas, and I miss her dearly.
Yeehaw, y'all.
Without further ado, the lady that doesn't really know how to whisper into someone's ear, Bob!
Hello. Thank you for having... What an intro. I only do stage whispers.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. That actually makes a lot more sense. Was the flight home a little easier than the flight to Austin?
Oh, yeah. Flight home.
Piece of cake.
Easy breezy.
Yeah.
Got to the Austin airport just in the nick of time, walked through security, and they were boarding my gate, which I know for you, who likes to go to the airport 100 hours early.
Yes, ma'am.
Is probably giving you an ulcer just hearing me say
Absolutely.
This.
Absolutely.
It was a dream come true.
I like to relax. I push myself. I get there 3 hours early. But then it's just relax time. Let's hang out at the airport.
I hate it, but on my way from Chicago to Austin.
Yeah, it was kind of tricky.
I actually did get to the airport early with plenty of time, and it was a necessity because I needed every extra minute.
You woke up at like 4:50 for your 5 o'clock goodbye.
Yes. I only needed 10 minutes to put on my clothes and my deodorant. Called an Uber driver and he was at our doorstep at 5 a.m. So I go out to his car and as he's putting my suitcase into the trunk, there's a giant wheelchair in the trunk. And he's like, oh my gosh, I am so sorry. I forgot this was here.
Yeah.
It's my daughter's. Can I take it home and drop it off?
What, dude?
And I'm thinking, no. Like, I'm on a schedule.
Yeah.
We gotta get to the airport. But you know what? We had allocated for additional time, so
you already didn't allocate for any amount of time. You're only an hour late in my book.
I know, but I was like, he said I live really close, and I'm like, okay, let's do it. He was right. He lived very, very close, and I know where he lives now. If we ever want to like stop,
harass him. Good.
So pulls up to his house, runs the wheelchair inside, and then we're on our way. Okay, great. Drops me off. I slyly slip him the tip, which I don't know if you do the tipping for us mostly.
Or you do the tipping every
it's
time.
It's me. Okay. Because it's always the like handshake that has money involved in it. I don't know.
This isn't an extra tip on top of tip. This isn't
a bribe. Because that's how I treat it. Like, we can't possibly let anyone see money changing hands. So then I go inside, and as I'm walking into the security line, I pat my pocket, and I realize what I've done instantly.
What?
I handed him not only the tip, but also my driver's license.
I know. You sounded like...
I sounded like a crazy person because I called you instantly in a panic, because at that moment we would have had just enough time that if you had brought me my passport, I still could have made it.
Right. I'm looking through passports in my underwear trying to figure out, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And I realize you're not aware of our filing system of important documents.
It's a special filing system.
It's just a black accordion binder with all of our crap in it.
It's three black accordion binders with passports and multiple accordion binders. No, let's be very clear about the situation.
Okay, it was just an unfortunate chain of events that led you to the first black accordion binder full of all the expired passports.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll explain that to me. So this is the accordion binder you don't look at because it has all the expired ones. Look at this one because this is the good one.
I realize now that we're going to need a new filing system.
It's 5:30 in the morning, everyone. I'm not supposed to be doing this. I'm looking for the stupid passport.
You had already gone back to bed. Could,
even though Bob isn't saying a word, I feel all the tension, all of everything that's going on. I'm like, okay, why don't you hang up with me right now and go and call the Uber guy and try to figure that out while I do this, and I'll call you back if I find it.
I was being deeply unchill in the moment.
Right. Which was perfect. So you got to do some kind of action and I got some clarity.
So I'm frantically calling the driver over and over and over again. And he finally answers and he's still at the airport. So he finally answered and I say, please, please, I left my driver's license with you. Can you please bring it back to me? He's like, I just picked up another fare. I already have a job. And I can tell that the other person heard me because I can hear them go like, and he's like, okay. He said it was okay. We'll be there in just a few minutes. Yeah. I'm like, oh my God, thank you so much. So the Uber driver pulls back around, hands me my driver's license. I throw him $20. I throw the guy in the back seat $20. They're both like, no, 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 you don't need to do this. I'm gone. I can't even hear them protesting anymore because I am out of there.
This is the lady that doesn't tip like this ever.
This is the most expensive Uber ride I have ever had in my life, and it was worth every penny. So I get in line. We're good. Rest of the trip, no problem. But I truly believe that the universe was like, hey, you weren't a jerk about the wheelchair thing. Therefore, just by the skin of your teeth, we made this work out for you. Thank you, universe. Lesson
you know,
learned.
Bob, why I love you so much is there's too many reasons to talk about right now, but one of them is logic. And you have so much logic, except for this ding dang karma that you have.
Yeah. No.
From the beginning, you bring up karma all the time. Uh-huh. It's really an afterthought usually when you talk about it, but still, it is there.
It's definitely a hindsight 2020 kind of ruling.
Oh my goodness.
It's a very superstitious, like, well, obviously, this thing worked out because of this other good deed that I did.
Oh my. Are you ready to see what the algorithm brought us?
Let's do it.
Since robots choose what I see, let's see what the algorithm brought me.
This is Let's See What the Algorithm Brought Me. It's the part of the show where we spin a fake wheel and talk about anything from movies to YouTubes, from TikToks to music and Instagram ads. Spin the wheel, Bob, with little mom, 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 mom for Mother's Day.
Oh, mom, 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 mom. Downplaying my money.
Yes, this is a Reddit that comes from King Joe 97034. AITA for downplaying my income. AITA is...
Am I the a-hole?
Oh boy. Yeah. So after 30 years of steady progress, I'm making good money. Like, I recently readjusted my 401k so I won't overpay into it this year. And the change in my take-home pay is more than what my roommate pays in rent in a sort of low-end, ugly house in a poor neighborhood.
It sounds like what he's saying is that the money he's saving by not paying into his 401k is higher than the income of his roommate.
Yeah, that was a convoluted way of saying it, but that's totally
okay.
It.
That's how I understand it.
Yeah, so he's got money coming out of his ears. Both of my roommates and several friends are constantly struggling. I try to help them drastically undercharging on rent. They probably pay half of what the rate is for the city. And I'm the one who buys takeout on movie nights, but they still struggle. I pretty much downplay my income and will downplay my available money by pointing out the college expenses I pay for my child and the cost of filling my old junker car with gas. I was hanging with a friend recently and he asked me what I make, and I was honest. He called me a jerk and said I was being condescending to my friend and acting poor. He was actively angry and that I'm faking being poor. Meanwhile, I was just trying to save up so I had a warm place to go to the bathroom when I get old. I'm going to charge rent to live in my house. It seems wrong to have people live there rent-free. I just way undercharge. I have no desire to get a fancy new car or show off with a nicer house. I do spend my money on travel, but that's rare due to my job needing me. And no one sees how nice I travel. Am I the A-H for acting poor? Am I the A-hole for acting poor is what he's saying.
Ooh, that's a lot. I'm sure there's infinite more details that they didn't provide.
But Bob, you're a pinch penny.
I am.
What side are you on? Not with this guy?
I'm on his side. I understand the societal pressure. I think there is a big difference between acting like you're poor and being poor.
Sure.
And I understand why somebody might take offense that someone's playing poor.
See, I think the reason why someone would take offense if you're acting poor is because you're taking advantage of them in some kind of way.
Sure.
And it feels like he's not doing that at all.
I don't think so. In fact, by his own standards, he's being very generous, both by keeping rent very, very comparatively low and also footing the bill for meals here and there.
Yeah.
You know, especially in your friend group now, your roommates is kind of crossing some boundaries that maybe your friends don't. I don't know if this is what caused the roommate to feel so defensive about it, but I can also imagine a scenario in which someone, maybe King Joe, which A plus username for this particular story, was bemoaning how broke he is only to garner that sympathy and then have the roommates be like, you were undeserving of that sympathy. You're not broke at all.
Oh.
Like, oh no, I'm out of money. I just had to pay for my kid's tuition.
I totally hear what you're saying. If it's just that he doesn't need to change anything that he's doing, that's mm-hmm. totally mm-hmm. fine. But if it's that he has to change and give them even more money or do it for free, that would be the problem that I have.
He is not obligated to let his friends live with him rent free. He is not obligated to spend more than he needs to.
Sure. The only thing that people in the comments were saying, that he was being a little condescending when he was kind of saying, saving up so I have a warm place to go to the bathroom when I'm old.
Yeah.
Now he's crying poor mouth.
I think that's so funny that that's been pointed out specifically, because like with our longer and longer lifespans, the probability that we'll live to over 100 years old is staggeringly high all of a sudden.
You know, that's a good point.
I'm not working till I'm 100. I won't be able to. Like, yeah, actually having a warm place to pee when I'm
old.
No. We should be saving for that moment.
Right. There's all these 90-year-olds that are like, I was supposed to be dead, and now I'm not, right. And now I need more money.
I financially was not prepared to live totally. To 98. And having a junk car, that speaks to my soul. My car's gross.
Yeah.
My car needs to go to the shop about 2 fender benders ago. And I haven't done it because I don't want to pay for it.
I know. I don't know how many people are saying, like, you still have the same car. It's not even like making all these like weird cartoon sounds or everything, and I have to figure out all these special ways to like knock it 3 times on the right in order for it to go or something like that. Yeah. It works just fine all the time. But everyone's like, your lease is up. You could get a new car. Right. I don't understand that at all.
For us, a car is just a tool. So my car has 4 wheels and 4 doors, and that's it.
And one of the greatest gifts you ever given me is researching my car for me.
Oh.
Because now I'm in a car that actually fits me.
Yeah.
And it's one of the few only cars in this world that does. I don't know what I'd do without that car. Okay, so this next story is about a tall guy like me.
Okay, perfect. This is an excellent story because you are a tall guy, and you got to explain to everybody what that life is.
Let's explain. The guy in this story is Ruby Road, and he's 6'7". He's literally my height.
Oh, literally.
We're the same. I guess I'm 6'6 and 3/4". Like, I'm just shy of 6'7". To anybody like in Europe or anywhere else besides America, I'm 2 meters tall.
How convenient.
I never had a growth spurt. I was always taller than everybody else in my class.
Just constantly growing.
Just constantly growing. My shoe size grew with my age. When I was 11 years old, I had an 11 size shoe, 12. I stopped growing when I turned 16.
Wow.
I was the tallest guy in every room. Did you ever like set up your like school when you got in line for the day from like tallest to shortest?
No, but we would have to do it for choir on where everybody was supposed where you're supposed to stand on the risers.
I was dead middle. Dead middle all the way in the back.
I can't believe they didn't just have you stand in the front row on the side so that you would be like equal height with the second row.
Everyone listening to this right now is saying the same thing. One is, you know, they're a little surprised that I'm tall, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then they're also saying, I know somebody taller than you. That's also my life. Is that 100% of people know somebody that's taller than me and they can't wait to tell me about it, even though they're not sure exactly how tall their tall friend is, but they ask me how tall I am and then they give 1 more inch than what I am.
I know. What you need to start doing every time is be like, before I tell you how my height, how tall is your friend? I'll be like, they're really super tall. They're 6'3". And you'll be like, boom.
No, gotcha. No. I've done that a billion times. Don't even. Oh. They'll just say, I just know it's taller than you.
Good for them. I bet that no chairs fit them. Riding on airplanes.
When I met Bob, she was definitely on the hay train. Ooh. When it came to this. I never had a problem with being tall until she came around.
I didn't have a problem with you being tall. I had a problem with other people pointing it out. Bunch of doinks.
But people remember me. I don't always remember who they are, but you know, I'm just a giant human being, so they don't know my name, but they're able to pick me out of a lineup. I get this all the time. It's not even like, how tall are you? Mm-hmm. A lot of times it's, did you know that you're tall?
Question?
But they're just so like baffled. They're like, did you know that you're that tall?
What do you say to that?
I just smile and nod. You know, you're walking down the street or something like that. I've had people roll down their windows and just scream out, you're tall! Oh my God!
I was there for many of these moments. It's so weird.
Everywhere I go, there's an assumption of like who I am because of my height. Like everyone's got it all figured out.
You're an authority figure or you work there.
Exactly. If I go to a doctor's office and I'm wearing like a button-down shirt or whatever, I'm a doctor. I am not there for anything else but being a doctor.
Dr. Music, if you please.
If I go in workout clothes or something like that anywhere, you know, do you play basketball? And that's fine. But then it's like, are you in the NBA? Like, what? I've signed autographs many times.
No, you haven't.
I had this one buddy that would say, yeah, he is. He's on the Bulls. And they would just like pull out like a napkin or something like that.
Oh, man.
Like, I'm not saying I have a horrible physique or anything like that, but I am not NBA ready at any point.
I love the idea that like an NBA basketball player is just casually shopping at the local grocery store in sweatpants.
Gotta waste some lettuce. Oh, where's all these people coming from? People totally think when I'm at a Target or a grocery store, and I'm wearing a polo shirt, especially, that I definitely work there. There's old ladies asking me to get stuff off of high shelves. And so maybe they don't know if I work there or not or whatever. But then there's people complaining to me about the food, about how it's clean, about like, can you take care of this for me? Can you help me find something? Oh, they're all doing that.
And you do help them, don't you?
I help them. But I tell them, I'm like, oh, I don't work here, but I think it's down this. I'm so sorry, but... Okay, can you take me there?
Like, go to aisle 13, new friend.
Even around our neighborhood, there's a woman that's asked me twice if I work for the city.
For the city? Right?
I got that look.
It's not like... You're wearing a shirt with the city or neighborhood plastered on it.
It's
even.
The same woman.
Wow.
Like she did it once. I said no. She did it again. Like, come on.
I think there's some statistic, and I'm not going to quote a number because I don't know what it is, but like all the presidents of the United States have been above a certain height.
I don't know.
Like I don't think we've had very many shorties as presidents.
Maybe. But then, I don't know. Just like the NBA, you know, everyone tacks on like 2 or 3 inches.
Yeah.
You know, you could get away with that. And then, like, everyone's IQ as a president's really high, and that's always, like, screwed around with.
Oh, you're saying that
and
it's
that
not
everyone's
real numbers?
A Mason that's a president? Maybe that's actually true.
I think
I think they get inducted as their president, though, right?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Yeah. There was one time I was in a grocery store parking lot putting my groceries back into the car, and this lady has a full cart and she's coming my way and she's crying. She goes, can you help me? I can't find my car. She's not an old lady. She's 32. She's 32 years old.
No.
It's not a giant parking lot, but I could totally tell like she's done for the day.
Yeah.
She's been looking for it with her cart.
This was the last straw of a very long day. Oh no.
I load all of her groceries into my car. I put her in the passenger seat.
What?
We pull out and we're just going to go through every aisle. We go to the next aisle. She goes, there it is. And we get out.
What?
And I put all of her groceries in her car.
Oh my God.
Isn't that hilarious?
What? What are you doing?
This isn't my fault.
That's insane.
Anyways, buckle up for one of my tall compatriots, Ruby All Road. Right. Here we go.
Ruby Road.
No guts, no glory. Gonna tell us a story. I'm about 6'7", so even when I'm trying to be friendly and meet my family members' kids for the first time, I notice they get intimidated on sight if I'm not sitting down. So it's not hard for me to intimidate a child, especially when I'm trying to. I intimidate everybody until they know me for like 2 seconds. However, a few times I've been called out. One time, me and my buddy were at Target buying Risk.
The game? Board game.
This 6-year-old with a mohawk was being insufferable in the action figure section. I heard from like 5 aisles over, and he was like nails on a chalkboard. I tell my friend, I'm gonna fart on this kid's head.
What a choice.
Watch and learn.
Right away. Oh my God.
I saunter on over to the aisle in question and see a vile little goblin calling his mom an idiot for not buying him a huge G.I. Joe the movie vehicle, which pisses me off even more considering how awful that movie is. Buy some good toys.
Says the guy buying Risk.
Right? He's in the kids section getting angry at the children
for their bad taste.
The mom's like, I already bought that one for you. You broke it throwing it down the stairs. Shut up! I need it! It's the only one I don't have! The mother was younger than me. I'm 26. I don't have enough money now. You're an idiot! And continued just berating and publicly shaming this woman. At the time, I was on a strict Chipotle carnitas burrito diet.
Doctor's orders.
And while I was watching all this, my stomach was having an initial warning gurgle. Very courteous stomach. Telling me I was an hour away from punishing a toilet. Serendipity. Destiny. I inch a little bit closer to my prey, inspecting some wrestling toys. And could you believe it? The kid gets on his hands and knees and starts taking the toy out of the box. So it's go time. I position my back toward him 2 feet away. His head's down, occupied with his twisty ties, and I go in for the kill. I bend down to reach for one of the toys on the lower shelf. I'm inches away from his face.
Oh my God.
Now, generally speaking, the best way to go about this is to act casual, drop your belly bomb, and then walk away a few seconds like nothing's out of the ordinary. I usually go one aisle over and listen to these kids' reaction in delight.
And delight.
That's a very Ruby.
Ruby, this story started off
with great.
How kids are afraid of your height. I don't think it's your height, dude. I don't think that's what's memorable about you.
However, today I couldn't help myself. I had my head tilted back looking for this kid out of the corner of my eye to ensure accuracy. Now, I'm trying not to laugh, but I'm panicking just as I made eye contact with him. He furls his brow and looks over to his mother's direction, still back toward us. There was an initial blast. Bang! I swear I saw the hair blowing in the wind. I think I could have probably blown over an empty soda can. It was an A++. Would buy again. Did you write this? Ooh, you say that all the time.
That's poetry.
However, what immediately followed out of the chamber was truly horrifying.
Oh no.
The fart's implication changed without notice and swiftly.
Oh, no.
It went from joyous to dry air horn squeal and nefarious hissing. I think the little moppet finally noticed that I was positioned as such that he couldn't escape.
Oh, is this guy going to poop his pants?
No. Okay. I think it's just the hissing. I think he was getting away with murder with the silent but deadly moment. And now there's a...
Now the sound effects are giving away strategic position. Oh my God.
In total, it lasted about 4 seconds for that kid. It must have seemed like a frozen time.
4 seconds? That's so long.
4 seconds is forever, by the way.
One, two, three, four. That's forever for a fart.
The long-term severe brain damage that he suffered only added to the effect. There was a silent, pregnant pause. The kid was clearly shocked and stunned. No one had ever stood up to him his whole life.
I don't know if this counts, but okay.
I had taken the words right out of his mouth and filled it with farts.
That's a fact. That's a true statement.
So I picked up the toy that I was reaching for off the low shelf, and the only thing the kid could manage out was to burst into tears. My friend senses danger, and he darts for cover. The mom turns around to see her kid with an open toy crying on the floor, and me minding my own business. She walks up to him and asks, "What's wrong?" And the kid can't speak. All he gets out is, "Fart." I wanted to laugh so bad. I put the toy back, and I started to walk away, sensing that his assailant was getting away scot-free. He somehow manages to compose himself at the moment. He shouts out, "He farted on me!" I could feel him pointing at me. I was almost around the corner, and the mom goes, "Excuse me, sir. Sir, yes, did you just fart on my son?" Weighing my options, I played dumb. "What? I mean, I farted? Wait, why did you fart on my son?" At this point, the little kid had the look of schadenfreude on his face. I'm thinking, screw you, I'm a man. I will fart on you as I please. I turned my attention to the kid and stared at him. "Ma'am, because the whole store could hear him being a little rotten warthog to his mother, so I thought I'd come over here and treat him like one." The mom looked at me, looked at her son, and the scattered toy packaging on the floor. The mom says, Just go." That's my cue. I turn around. I book it outside as fast as I can while dialing my buddy. And like a true friend, he's right out there in the front with the engine running and risking the trunk. We laugh in the car right back. The whole scene with a slight hint of seriousness. And as Tony asks me, "Do you do that a lot?"
I think so.
Not as much. Like once every 6 months or so. We both knew I was lying. Yes. We got to the friend's. I love that so much. We got to our friend's house and we played Risk until 4 a.m. and drank scotch. Overall, I'd say it was a pretty good day.
That's amazing. Yay! Oh my God. There's so many details here. That's amazing. I love the fact that this person does this on the regular, like as punishment to children. Like, you know what? As far as like punishing children,
yeah,
that's pretty good. Totally. It's actually pretty good.
Totally.
Like, it's already childish in and of itself. There's no like,
oh man, that is the cusp, isn't it?
Yeah.
No physical contact right. is happening.
Yeah.
I didn't
yeah.
even think about that.
It butts up right next to every boundary. Like, yeah. he's not saying anything to these children. He's not reprimanding them directly. He's not touching them.
Now that you say that, the chances of you being able to to fart on an adult is really difficult. This must be every 6 months for children that he's lying about. So it's really every 3 months for children. Yeah. 4 times a year, he finds a way to fart on a kid.
I'm impressed with his bowel control. I could never control my farts like that. I could never be like, "This is it. Let me get in position. Go."
Not everyone has that gift.
It's also making me think, I can't remember who said this, but there's some quote about like America's favorite pastime is judging parents.
Right.
But this guy took it a step further. Like, he wasn't judging that mom. He's like, "This kid is being a jerk."
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He's doing quite the opposite.
And in this weird way, like, takes a village to raise a child. And this guy is doing his part by farting on a little kid.
I'd taken the words right out of his mouth and filled it with farts. I love that so much.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Oh, that's my favorite.
I mean, I know this guy isn't looking for notes at all, and I'm not here to change his ways, but I do think there's a little bit of gap between the punishment and tying it to the behavior you're trying to change. If anything, this little boy who called him out was probably yeah. one of the few that got told to his face, "I did it because you were being a jerk." Just crop dusting little kids for being jerks
I think you're completely right. He would have no clue. Thank goodness the mom stopped him.
Yeah. If anything, it would backfire and that little kid would be
like... What's the mom thinking at this point? She's had to deal with this kid all day long and now she has to defend him too. Like, jeez, that sucks. Before we get to the pop quiz question, please go to my Patreon page, The Cookie Crew.
Cookie Crew!
That was really loud.
For extras from this podcast and many others, and sneak peeks into my music, Alexi Music, A-L-E-X-I-M-U-Z-I-C. Sign up for my email list so we can chat. I love your recommendations for jingles, songs, and what to watch next. Hey, everyone listening on their iPhone, this is for you today because I did Spotify last 2 times ago. Mm. You're listening on that purple app that you have. You're listening to podcasts on it, right? That comes with your iPhone. That is the Apple Podcast app. If you could go back and rate this podcast and leave a review, it would mean everything to me.
That would be great.
This is just for you guys. Everyone else, you don't have to do it this time. This is just your homework for iPhones. Thank you so much.
Well, we'll see the rest of you after class next week.
Bob, are you ready for your pop quiz question?
Pop me a question.
If you had to teach something, Bob, what would you teach?
Like a class?
I don't know. I got this pop question off the internet. It didn't come with addendums.
It's just open-ended.
What do you got to share with the world to teach? You know what I mean?
Okay, so I'm going to tell this quick story. When I was in high school, I was part of some like do-gooding group. We went around to the local elementary schools and collected canned goods for a canned good food drive.
Yeah.
It was just a bunch of us high schoolers were just let loose. Like we carpooled together. We went to the elementary schools and completely unsupervised gathered everything together. And I remember being partnered with 2 other people that just had no concept of how to build a cardboard box, how to fill it with the cans, and then take it from the classroom to our vehicle.
What do you mean by build a cardboard box? You mean unfold it and just make it in? Assemble it. Yeah, yeah.
By showing my fellow classmates how to do these very practical life skills, they were floored. They were like, you need to teach a practical life skills class. Just show us how to do things. And at the time, I was like, this is outrageous. I think not. But the more I think about it in adulthood,
that is so practical of you. And you're such a smart, intelligent individual. And you want to teach how to make boxes for people.
I want to teach all the little regular things that slip through the cracks.
Right. I think the best moment to do that, I mean, there's never a bad moment to teach like practical application for this world. Just after senior year of high school, that summer, just before you go to college. There's so many people that don't know how to do any of the things, and they're all just
so good.
The RA, the first semester of a freshman class, is just like, you guys are the worst.
Right.
And don't know how to do anything yourselves.
You have too much self-responsibility and not enough brains.
What other things are you teaching in this class? You're teaching how to make boxes.
Oh, sure.
You're gonna teach how to wash and fold laundry. Iron.
Yeah,
you need to know how to iron in college. I hated that.
And like, you know,
the same shirt 5,000 times.
Some basic cooking skills, some basic organization skills, like how to make a list of things, and then a few like light survivalist skills, like not how to like build a fire or anything.
Here we go. Oh, but, no, you know, come on.
I mean, that's like
I feel like the Girl Scouts is about to come out here.
That's like level 102. Okay, yeah, we'll build a fire.
What's the life skill in between? What were you going to say?
You know, like some light first aid, tying knots.
When do you need to know how to tie a knot?
Do you think you could tie a knot? Like if you had to...
I could tie my shoe. Is that what you're talking about?
That's a bow. It's not even a knot.
If I do the first part of tying your shoe and you do it twice, that's a knot.
If you do a bad job of tying your shoe, it becomes a knot.
What do we need knots for?
Tying the Christmas tree to the top of your car.
Oh, that's huge.
I'm the one that does it every year.
If I was a college kid with a car and I had a bunch of twine, I could take all sorts of stuff with me.
Skis, other people, a couch.
Let's get to it. That's it.
That's what it's going to be.
That's what it's going to be, for sure. Bob, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks. You can sign up for my practical life skills class on
Tuesdays and Thursdays, 5 p.m. to 8 p.m.
That's a long class.
You got a lot to teach. Okay. So, Mrs. Bob.
Yes, yes.
Do I peep in the potty or?
class is missed.
Where?
Here on Earbender.